Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Pause Pet Talk Radio, and I'm calling you from Camp Good Dog. It's Deb Wolf, your host, up here in Canada, in Vancouver. But with me today, we've got a kind of good cross-section of North America here. We're going to be talking to somebody in Florida and somebody in New York City. Both co-hosts, both guests. One's a veterinarian, one's a dynamic New York City pampered pooch owner. So I'll just introduce everybody. We've got Dr. Don Camphor from Florida and Autry Pruitt from New York City. Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
Welcome. Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Oh, well, there's a lot going on in New York City, Autry. Did you attend the dog show?
No, I didn't. I was actually in Boston for the past week.
Oh, no. What a slip up in scheduling. You got to be in New York City for the Westminster dog show. Were you there, Don?
No, I didn't even know it was this week.
Oh, I missed it, too. You know, year after year, the Dog Writers Association of America has their big do there and their banquet and their awards. And a few times I even won, but I didn't make it to New York City. But I'm always so envious of the people who do. And this year, for the first year ever in the history of the American Kennel Club, the show included mutts. What do you guys think about that? Do you think, Dr. Don, that mutts should not be allowed at a big dog show like that?
Oh, I think it doesn't matter. I mean, all dogs, when you come down to it, are mutts. You know, the original dog was a wolf. Everything else is mutt-sized. But no, there's labradoodles at some point will probably become an accepted breed. Cockapoos will become an accepted breed. Enough people put political pressure on them, and, you know, it changes.
What do you think, Audrey? Should the dog show stay purebred?
Listen, I think this whole controversy concerning mutts and who should be at a dog show, it's just another way for people to exercise their human prejudice through animals when they talk about purebred. It's just a form of animal bigotry, if you will. So, yes, of course.
Funny. Animal bigotry. Well, see, originally these shows were all about breeders. It was all about, you know, people like me with stud standard poodles getting to see the girls from the other side of the country and getting to see who the best ones were and kind of establishing a standard. So if you were breeding, you knew, oh, it should be taller or the winner is actually bigger or whatever they're looking for. And hopefully the standards would be something that was healthy for the dog. Now, there was a lot of controversy in England a few years ago. Maybe you can comment on that one, Dr. Don, when they found out that some of the standards they'd been judging for, like big heads in King Charles Cavaliers or big heads in Bulldogs, in that particular case, they were having to C-section almost all the puppies born. So clearly wanting a huge oversized head maybe wasn't so great for the dog if it required surgery for normal function, because we are so into these weird exaggerations. Okay, Archie, take it away.
I have a question. How much of dog shows is really about understanding and loving the dog versus pacifying just more human prejudice, more humans' desire to separate themselves? I enjoy dog owners and dog lovers that enjoy the animal for the animal, not just because they want to show it off to their friends. I have a problem with that. I'm sorry if that upsets somebody, but that's how I personally feel about it.
You know, this is where the crossover is happening. There are these, like, pet lover fairs and, you know, dog Olympics and pug Olympics and things like that for the people who just get into the animals and the fun of it. But this was the breeding world, and now they seem to be crossing over. What do you think, Dr. Don?
Yeah, this goes way beyond that. All dog shows and cat shows are even worse than dog shows if you ever get to see one of those. It's just all about feeding the human ego. I mean, the egos in the room, the competition, the, you know, one-upmanship that people try to do with pampering their dog and choosing the right judge and choosing the right handler. If you don't have the right handler for your dog, the judge won't look at him. And it's all politics. It's all about feeding human ego. The poor animals are just being used and manipulated to satisfy people's, you know, people's wants and desires.
And so who among...
I have a hard time looking at some of those haircuts. Like, they showed some of the top ones in contention, and it was a little Airedale that won. But the top ones, there were two standard poodles, and they were so, and a Portuguese water dog, and they were so full of hair. The hair was just enormous. I thought, oh my God, that poor dog has more weight on its head than the rest of his body. Oh boy. So what were you going to say, Audrey? Sorry to interrupt.
No. Don't worry about it. I was going to say this. I was going to say, I wonder who is sponsoring. I think it aired on like the USA Network. I want to know who's sponsoring these dog shows, what companies are behind them, and how many of these individuals claim to be real. But I'm with the good doctor. I just cannot understand for the life of me. Everybody wants people would go ballistic if someone is walking their dog outside without any booties, but yet they line up to watch these dog shows. Like, there's an old movie called Best in Show. Did you ever see that?
Oh, it's so funny. I love that
and
movie.
I actually had a chance to visit a regional dog show once in, I think it was in Savannah, Georgia, and it was not far from the truth. The people there were they were monsters. They were crazy. Yeah, it was like those pageant
home,
kids.
Exactly. If you haven't seen the movie Rent It, it's so funny. Dr. Don, have you seen that movie, Best in
Show? No, I never have, but I can sort of imagine what the plot might be like.
Oh, it's
they
got
have
some
these
great actors.
Yeah, and actresses from Second City, real comedic actors. And they play these over-the-top dog owners. One's a neurotic standard poodle owner, and they basically, I think it was the standard poodle that was neurotic. Anyway, they make their dog absolutely beside itself with tension and anxiety every show day. There's just some stuff in there that's so funny. It's Eugene Levy. And
Eugene Levy from, yeah. Yeah,
all these amazing actors, and the dogs are great too. So check out Best in Show if you want to get a comedic look at the show world. Sometimes the show world does good things too, though, and they can promote the health overall of dogs and cats. And
told me that they did. How do they promote the health?
Well, that's where the controversy is, and we're going to come back in the next segment. I'm going to ask Dr. Don about that, because ideally, they're supposed to be looking for standards that are good for the dog, good for the cat, that make that animal as healthy and good at what it's supposed to do, like a swimming dog should swim and a fetching dog should fetch and that kind of thing. But sometimes they get a little bit off track, so maybe we'll come back and talk about that if Dr. Don's willing.
Sure. Good topic.
All right on. Okay, so stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk. We also have a guest later on today talking about some cat furniture that you've probably never seen before and some dog and cat toys that get your pet reacting in a different kind of way. So we'll talk about that later on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It's Deb Wolf from Camp Good Dog up in Vancouver, and we've been talking to Autry Pruitt in New York City and Dr. Don Canfer in sunny Florida. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Anytime you're near, I love
you. Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
Hello, we're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Talking a little sidetrack about fake and real. Thank God they don't give dogs Botox. So, Dr. Canfer,
is there dog cosmetic surgery?
Yes.
Is there?
There is cosmetic surgery for dogs, and believe it or not, we're called on it to do it not infrequently.
Isn't that cheating in the show world? Because you just
yes, it is. And you know, a lot of my practice is farm animals, and you would not believe what people want to go through too before, like, the county fairs when they're showing their sheep and pigs. You wouldn't believe
like what?
Something.
Like what? Orthodontics?
Yeah.
Are we talking about retainers for sheep or what? How crazy?
No, you know, just the tail docking and clipping and creative clipping and, you know, so repairing hernias. You know, I've had, you know, show sows with hernias that, you know, should be eliminated. Well, doc, you know, let's do it now so the scar will be gone before the fair. I've heard stories out in Texas. There was some county fair or 4-H show, and they actually arrested. It was like a Little League game where the parents turned violent. They were actually arresting some of the parents for it's supposed to be for the kids to teach them honesty and, you know, integrity and responsibility and raising farm animals. And the kids, they're beating the animals with 2x4s to make them swollen so that they you know, will look fuller and fatter.
Oh, that's terrible.
Sabotaging each other's animals. It was several years ago. It happened in Texas. And I'm sure it takes place all over the country.
And what's amazing to
me. Oh my God, eating that. You'd be eating all the stress. That would be like terrible for your body to eat meat.
Why don't we hear about this more about the Westminster Dog Show? Is it because it's a why don't we hear more about these controversies? I mean, I just read on like several papers about the cockfighting ring that was arrested, and everybody cried out. I saw the comments, and the Twitter and Facebook went berserk. But why don't we hear about this in the Westminster Dog Show? Is it because there's money behind it? Or I'm just asking people that know, because I don't attend that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. Well, it's a big thing. There's a lot of the upper crust, a lot of people, you know, well-connected. I'm sure there's a lot of politics behind this as well. And probably the bigger shows like Westminster, I'm sure there's not a whole lot of overt, you know, carrying on, you know, that goes on. A lot of it's probably just behind the scenes, you know, competition for trainers and handlers.
It's intense. It's the highlight of the year for these people. They have to get their
Canadians
dogs
come down too?
Oh, absolutely. Dogs from all over the world take part. It's a huge thing. And they have to get a certain number of points. The dog has to be the best at shows or the best in his category a certain amount of times to get a title that allows them to breed him for more money because they're showing how great he is compared to his peers. So there's something to this. But some of these people are also the biggest philanthropists. Some of these people in the breed world are the people who began the SPCAs and the Humane Societies and are integral in combining all of that.
So basically they began the societies.
They're not all the bad apples. And many people within the breeding world really do want healthy dogs. Nobody wants to see litters epileptics or animals needing surgeries. So Dr. Canfer, can you comment on, you know, the big scandal that took place in England where they figured out that actually the breeding world maybe was making some mistakes about certain breeds and breeding for unhealthy standards? And how is that better in America? Because I know Archie's getting upset about this.
Well, it's probably worse here in America because we do not have the spay-neuter, you know, enforcement or the breeding enforcement like they have in Europe. In Europe, they don't have the pet overpopulation problem that we have. Even though the vast majority of their animals over there do not get spayed and neutered, people tend to be a little more responsible. Partly it's because they've got some very repressive laws, you know, mandatory microchipping, mandatory leash laws. It's a lot harder to let your animals just run around the neighborhood and reproduce indiscriminately when you live in Europe. But it's less space, more
dense population. And I think also, if you think about France, the dogs that are around are always right with their owners. I mean, they're glued to their owners.
Sure.
They're trained so well.
it's a complex problem. You know, ideally, like you said, the people at the high level shows Westminster, a legitimate breeder, there's a difference between a breeder and somebody who's just dumb enough to let their animal get pregnant. Just because you're stupid enough to let your animal get knocked up does not make you a breeder. And I have this argument with clients all the time, and most veterinarians have clients who are so-called, you know, in quotation marks, breeders. And a true breeder is somebody who has the interest of the breed at heart. Their purpose in breeding animals is because they've got a certain bloodline that they feel has qualities that are making the breed better. Might be temperament, might be resistance to some environmental condition, but whatever it is, they're trying to propagate a bloodline or breed that they have that they think is going to make an improvement. They think they're making a difference in the breed. Whereas,
well, and one sec here, Doctor. Also, Autry, if a good breeder knows there's a problem with a breed, like epilepsy runs in this type of dog, or something specific, the hip dysplasia, they will test their dogs before they breed them. Whereas someone who's more random won't bother because it's expensive.
So let me ask just to throw this out there, because this is the kind of person how I think. Is there any group or any people out there that talk about breeding in terms that are more – because you seem to be very pro-control. It seems like I'm talking to two people that are really pro-control breeding. Are there any people out there that are like, maybe we shouldn't be that pro-control in breeding? It seems like in Europe they are, but is there any people that are like – you know, if there's not any major illnesses.
You know, you know what? I actually believe in hybrid vigor, which is, I think, something you're hinting at. I think in general, more times than not, a mutt will outlive a purebred, and just the fact of the genes being all mixed up and there's no duplication, there's really hardly any chance of the dog having that. It's not from the same family or genetic family even so closely. There's a lot of inbreeding when a dog gets instantly popular, like after a movie like Marley and Me or 101 Dalmatians or something, and then there's inbreeding and you get a lot of dogs with sicknesses. So I actually love mutts. I love to work with them, but there's so many mutts that need homes, I would never suggest anyone breed one.
And organizations out there that work with breeders, things like the Orthopedic Foundation for Animals, they certify animals' hips and elbows. There's eye registries. Certain breeds that are prone to problems like hip dysplasia, there are veterinary organizations out there that work with breeders to help improve the breed. And that is the difference. Real breeder, if they get an animal that has one of these defects and propagates the defects, they will get that animal spayed or neutered and give it away as a pet. That's part of the cost of doing business, and they accept that. Whereas the backyard breeder, they just want to sell the dogs and make a couple of quick bucks.
Well, and temperament too, Dr. Kampfer. I mean, I've had opportunity. People have tried to unload on me golden retrievers, one in particular that had a reputation of being horrible, just a nasty, nasty animal. But they thought, well, you're a trainer, you can control her, and you could get two or three more litters out of her. That's, you know, potentially $20,000, $30,000. And I said, there's no way I would ever want to breed a nasty dog, because her puppies will be taught how to be nasty, and they'll be born with some genetic inclination to be nasty. And who the heck wants a nasty golden retriever? I don't. So, you know, you got to really look at what you're getting. If they don't let you meet the mom, then you don't want that puppy. Okay, so we have to go to break again. Gentlemen, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have to go to break. We'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, in a moment. We're going to have our guest on soon, and if anybody wants to call the show, we'd love to answer your questions, medical or training or political even, because we've got Autry, we've got Dr. Don, and me. All right, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Attention all pet lovers. Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, Deb Wolf, dog trainer, dog breeder, pet radio host, author, all that stuff, poop scooper extraordinaire up here in Canada. And I'm talking with Autry Pruitt, who's the new host of one of the great shows on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and he's from New York City, and he pampers the little tiny dogs in his life. And then we've got Dr. Canfor over somewhere near Daytona Beach in Florida, who just told me the weather is taking on a little bit of a cool spell. Not good, as I'm heading out there for sunshine in a few
days. Cool meaning 60 degrees. I don't want to hear that mess. That's nonsense.
I love it.
Oh, I'm sitting here in negative 10,000 degree weather.
Yes. No boots on the dogs in Florida, I guess. Not this year.
Not necessary. No salt on the roads.
No salt. But parasites, right? I mean, I had a dog visit Florida, and it was like he'd never experienced fleas like that in his life.
It's an onslaught. This is great. And, you know, a big part of my business, too, is alpaca. We have a lot of alpaca.
Wait, you're the doctor. You're saying it's great that people's dogs have fleas?
Ka-ching, ka-ching. That's how we put my kids in college. Yeah, parasites are great.
Remind me not to go where you're at. Gee, you're probably spreading them.
Yeah, we get a lot of alpaca farms around here. For some reason, they're the latest, you know, in the animal scams that are going around, you know, the pyramid schemes. And, you know, if you had to spin a globe of the world and throw a dart on the exact worst spot on the planet to put an alpaca, it would be right here in Central Florida. I mean, it is, you're taking an animal from a high, dry, cold, arid climate, and you're moving them down to hot, humid, subtropical sea. Exposing them to parasites they have no natural immunity against, and the bugs just eat them up alive. And I said, it's great because, you know, I got two daughters, still got to go to college, so I can use income. But I tell people, you don't want it.
This guy.
But see, yeah, really. Hey, Autry. Okay, so, so maybe now's the time to say you should shop carefully for your vet, because you could connect with a vet or not connect with the vet. And they're so different, many, many different styles. But I hear Dr. Canfor really tells it like it is. You walk in there with an alpaca with special needs, and he's going to tell you, find a new home on the other side of the globe. And that makes sense to me, because sometimes, like up where I live, even though it's wet up here near Vancouver, we have mountainous terrain, we have cold weather, and we have llamas and alpacas that hardly need any care at all compared to, like, if you had other farm animals, like a horse, for example. A horse needs so much more careful care up here. It will get ill if the hay is even wet at all. It will get ill if its feet are in, if its hooves or legs are in wet, mucky soil. Llamas and alpacas do just fine with all that up here. So it's quite a difference. You got to look into climate before you get into something like this, I guess, is what you're saying. Hey, doctor?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, back to dogs. Yesterday, I had somebody brought me in a St. Bernard, who was rescued. And, you know, luckily yesterday the weather started to turn cool, but this poor dog, we had to put a muzzle on him to get a blood sample from him. And the poor dog was panting so hard, couldn't get his mouth closed, put the muzzle on him.
And then it swells, doesn't it?
Why would
that
you have
fleshy mouth inside a muzzle when he's upset? Yeah. It would just swell.
A St. Bernard, you understand people love the breed and they fell in love with this particular dog, but, you know, Florida is not exactly the best place for a St. Bernard.
Oh, I totally agree with you there. I don't get it. And when people tell me they're going to go on a holiday and they're going to go to Florida or Las Vegas and they're going to bring their dog, if their dog isn't short-haired and used to travel, I think they're nuts. What dog would choose to go to Las Vegas in summer if it's a Samoyed?
Can you shave the hair? What if you shave the hair? What if you shave the hair?
Well, that's a good question, Dr. Camp. For some dogs can be shaved, but for
Actually, the hair provides some degree of insulation from the heat as well as the cold. Problem is dogs don't sweat. So, you know, whether they're shaved or not really doesn't help. In theory, they dissipate a little more body heat without the hair covering, but the hair also acts to shield the sun off them and does provide a little bit of protection against the thing. So I think it's probably
and
a wash.
Parasites, those darn parasites. Because really, Autry, you and I, we get freezing. We get freezing temperatures where we live that kills all that stuff off. Dr. Camphor, his fleas and ticks and worms and parasites that are putting his kids through college, they go year-round, and they get worse and worse and worse.
And they do. And, you know, we as bad as people complain, you know, the occasional cold snap here in Florida, we'll get an occasional freeze, and people will lose a few plants. And people complain about the cold. But I tell all my clients, I said, you know, you can cold as it gets here, you can still stand out there by the edge of the woods, and the mosquitoes are going to come out and bite you. And you need sub-zero temperature for weeks at a stretch to really affect the parasites, something that obviously never happens in Florida.
Would be really interesting, just as an economic experiment, to see what individuals spend on animals in terms of veterinary bills in places like Florida versus places like New York. I wonder if
I bet the American Veterinary Medical Association has stats like that. I bet they've tried to figure it out. You know what? I suspect that mostly people just spend differently. So you're going to save money on the parasites and things like that up here, but you might end up spending more on other things, like dogs get their feet cut all the time by ice. They get problems with salt, ingestion, and also burning their feet. Like Dr. Camphor says, that would never happen in Florida. I'm not sure it would be cheaper, though. What do you think, Dr. Camphor? Is it cheaper to own a pet up north or down south?
By far, you guys got us beat. People, they have tracked veterinary expenditures in part regions of the country, and people spend way, way more up north, mostly because just the general cost of everything is so much more up north. I have clients that come down from up north, show me their invoice. Oh, my dog was up at the vet, you know, wherever they came from, Michigan, New York, Connecticut. And I'll look at the invoice. I go, oh, my God, I'm practicing in the wrong state. Look at these prices. Everything is more expensive. I just had to mail a bottle of thyroid medicine to my sister in New York for her dog because her vet wanted to charge several hundred dollars for a bottle of medicine that cost me $60.
Well, see, now that really bothers me because it seems like it's so willy-nilly. You can go to a clinic and get charged $30 for something for a diabetic dog and somewhere else $100 and somewhere else $300. And then maybe you could even ask your vet if you have the gall to do it and you don't feel shame asking for the prescription and walk it across to a big box store like, you know, Walgreens or Costco or something and get it for even less. And is that right? I mean, there's going to be animals put down because the people think they can't afford the medicine when they can afford the medicine.
Well, this is the, you know, we live in a society based on capitalism, and that's the way things work. There's competition. If you think one vet's too expensive, go to the guy down the road. Maybe he'll be less. You ask around. You ask your friends, your neighbors, your relatives. Who do you use? And that's generally
you know what? People up here cross border. There's a lot of Canadians who drive over the border to use the American vets in Blaine, Washington, just because it's so much cheaper.
There's a lot of Americans drive over the border to buy their drugs.
Well, I wouldn't recommend that one because you get really – I watch this show called Border Patrol, and it's scary the dogs do on that. Oh, they can sniff out anything. Forget about pickles and coffee and those dogs are going to find you.
Oh, I was referring to the human prescriptions.
Okay. All right. So, now I understand.
Yeah, people get a lot of high blood pressure medicine and things. Everybody's shopping at the Canadian pharmacies because the drugs are so much cheaper in Canada.
Speaking of driving across borders, what about breeds? Oh.
Okay, yeah. Autry, we're going to ask that after the break.
Okay.
Autry's got a question about breeds and borders, and I'm curious what that might be. So stay tuned. We'll find out on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com. NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044 and tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Yes, I've been to the U.S., Autry. My mom lives in Florida. I've been many, many times. I've even rescued animals in the U.S. I've done work there.
Yeah.
And you know what? The dogs, the cats, world over speak the same language. You can approach them anywhere. But I wanted to ask you what that question was. You had something about borders.
It's sort of a two-part question. Do breeds, this is a question, this is the kind of stuff I worry about with animals. I don't know what everybody else is asking. But do people cross border? Like, for example, is there a breed that is better in Canada than is in the U.S.? And so U.S. people will go to Canada to buy, purchase, or get that breed to bring it back.
Yes.
And then does that then also making taking care of that breed equally hard that there are vets, for instance, maybe Canadian vets are better with, say, Bernards than vets from Texas, for example?
I don't think the second part is true, and I'll let Dr. Camphor answer as well.
Yeah,
but
I guess
the first
not.
Part,
medicine's medicine, right?
Well, this summer I sold a puppy, a standard poodle puppy, to a couple from Panama who came all the way here because there literally isn't a single breeder. There's no stock. There's nothing in Panama. The country on either side of them also had no standard poodles, and because these people are born in Canada originally, they felt comfortable coming here to buy a dog, but they had to time it so exactly. The puppy had to, in order to cross the borders and have the right visas and everything like that, it had to have a certain amount of vaccines that could only be done at a certain age, but it also had to be under a certain age to travel. And it had to have papers the day it was vaccinated, the papers had to be sent to Ottawa, stamped by a consulate, sent back, and all that happened to had to happen before the flight. The puppy also had to be a certain amount of pounds so it could fit under the seat. I mean, it was like precision timing to get this standard poodle puppy to Panama. So, some breeds are rare. And some breeds are better some places. But Dr. Camphor, what about, you know, if you take a dog that's odd in your neighborhood, are you going to have trouble with vet care? I think haircuts maybe, but yeah, maybe not.
I don't think so, but it depends on who you talk to, because there's people that insist. I have clients that have German Shepherds, and they insist on going over to Germany, you know, because they get the best, the purest, you know, the original Rottweilers and German Shepherds.
The guard dog people. And then they get this puppy that they never got to meet. They never got to meet the parents. You know, the breeder probably gave them their worst. He's not going to give them their best. And then the dog went through some traumatic flight at a tender age, which is never good. Maybe some quarantine, too. I mean, they'd probably be better off getting a dog locally for something like that, I think.
Aren't you better off getting the dog locally anyway?
I think so. You're always
if you can.
The foreigners too. They see these foreign Americans or other people coming over there, and they see dollar signs in their eyes. You know, because I've seen clients come back here with some of the most, from a health standpoint, some of the most terrible dogs. We X-rayed and their hips are shot by the time they're 6 months old. They get taken advantage of. But it's who you talk to. Some people think the bloodlines are better in one country than in another. But I think pretty much we've homogenized the dog breeds around the world at this point. I don't think it would depend on who you talk to.
There was a story I told last week or the week before on air that was really sad about Sochi and all these dogs being slaughtered that were, you know, stray dogs. And they seemed to be okay with the stray dog population before the Olympics, but now they wanted a clean look, so they were out killing dogs. Well, good news. There was a rich millionaire Russian who came to the aid of these dogs and has generously donated so much money to a shelter there that now there's no more killing of Sochi dogs at the Olympics. So that was nice. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Isn't there an event where they use animals in the, besides the horse, is there a winter event for animals in the Olympics?
I don't think so. You might be thinking of the Iditarod or one of the other.
That's what I was. Never mind. You're correct. That's what I was.
And if you can handle snow, I can probably get you a ringside seat to one of those. I never want to go because I cannot handle snow.
Don't you live in snow?
Yeah, that's why I'm
not
going there
for my holiday.
You know,
you have a lot of.
I'm not going there on holiday. No way.
My gosh, I'm surprised the Canadians haven't escorted you across the border.
I know. Trade me for Justin Bieber. You can have Justin back. Just send me down. You got it. I want to be traded. I'll go with the trade. But I do like it in Canada. I don't want all my Canadian listeners getting upset with me.
Yeah, I know, right?
I like that sunshine. I'd like to see the sun in the winter. I'd like to go back and forth like a little snowbird. Okay, Audrey, last time we talked, you said something that was a little icky for me. Because I thought you were talking about animals, but you were talking about people. And then I thought, well, why do I find it icky? What's wrong with me that I think it's okay if it's animals, but not okay if it's people?
What is this?
What were you talking about? Professional cuddlers? What is that?
No, that wasn't me. That was Dr. Carol.
Oh, what?
I told you I knew about it. Yeah, these are individuals who they professionally cuddle people. Like you pay them and they cuddle with you. You can fall asleep for an hour or they give you hugs.
It doesn't it? And you know what? Initially, I thought she was talking about dogs. And I thought, what a lovely idea.
Yeah, I'll let my cat, you know, jump in the bed with me.
But no, see, that's what I mean, Doctor. Originally, I thought she was talking about golden retrievers or something like this. And I thought, I've got a golden retriever who'd be an ideal professional cuddler. What a job for her. And for some reason, it didn't bother me at all when I thought people without pets were paying to have pets cuddle them. So why does it bother us when it's humans, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, are they cuddling or are they spooning? I mean, what are they doing?
They're spooning. They're cuddling. You lay on the shoulder. There's I think her name is Samantha Hess or somebody who's cuddled up to me or something like that. It's professional about it. But you just brought – that's actually a great business idea because there are people who like – what if you did that, some kind of cuddle?
Yeah, they do it in Japan. In Japan, they have cat cafes where you pay like $15 to be there for half an hour and you can pet cats. Yeah, and they have dog renting and all this sort of stuff.
You're going to find all this stuff on Craigslist along with the, you know, the Swedish massages and things? Or?
No, professional cut. I think there might be licenses in New York, you know, wherever the government can license stuff. But anyway.
It's like when I'm on a plane and the person next to me leans over. Like, I would pay to not have a stranger cuddle me.
Oh, my gosh. I'll give you $5. Or their fat spills over the edge of the plane and it touches you over the edge of the seat. Yes. Like, get off.
Yes. Yes. Or right away they claim both armrests. Like, what makes you entitled to both armrests?
I know. Maybe the fact that you're 2,000 pounds. Maybe that's it.
Well,
maybe that's
sure. Or they flip it up even worse so they can take over more of your seat. Oh, excellent.
Oh my gosh! So there, the Japan professional cat petting bars. Is there no? Is it? A lot of people talk about. Seriously, they talk about animal rights or what's inhumane. When does it reach a point where you don't, do certain things with your pets? Where you don't take them to a bar and have them pet? Is there any limit?
Well,
is there
I don't
any
think
point
those
you
pets
go?
Are owned, Autry. I think those pets just live at the place and are cuddled by people. They're cuddly pets. You know, some societies, it's really, really hard to own one. Like, you just, you know, it's not even, sometimes it's not even legal. You have to be so well-connected that you can illegally own a dog and keep it in secret in apartments and things like this. I've had to train dogs to use litter boxes because they were heading for Hong Kong. So it's a different world. We've got to go to break. We're going to be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I want very much to let Dr. Camphor comment on this. You ready, Dr. Camphor?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so we're coming back to you after the break. Stay tuned, everybody, to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 national nutrition awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Hello, we're back on the air with Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We are talking about professional cuddlers. Is it okay if it's a golden retriever? Is it not okay if it's a human? And in Japan, they've got these cat cafes and dog rent a dog for an hour. Is that okay? What do you think, Dr. Camphor?
I guess it's okay. You know, the animals are serving a purpose. They're soothing human beings, they're providing comfort. And that's, you know, that's the reason we keep pets to begin with, I guess, is to, you know, have that comfort and that rapport with them. So in that respect, as long as the animals are, you know, well cared for, I think it's probably a benefit.
By the way, at the end of January, they're talking about there may be a cat cafe starting in San Francisco.
Ooh-wee. I'd like to go there. I'd like to go on a field trip. I propose a field trip. See, I'm willing to go
just, we need to do a live broadcast from there.
There we go at the Cat Cafe in San Francisco. Oh, yeah. I love San Francisco. It's like Vancouver with sun. So Vancouver's almost perfect where I live. It just doesn't get quite enough sun. But San Francisco...
I guess if you're... Is there any concern that pretty soon people will start breeding cats just for the purpose of cat cafes?
No, there's
I don't know. They do a pretty good job of breeding themselves.
Cats are little breeding machines. They can have babies before they're even adults, and they can have
them. Yeah, but you say that now, folks. Think about this. We just were talking about the Westminster, where people, this becomes as a spread. It goes to Dallas and Houston, and then all of a sudden people start saying, oh, well, we want this cat becomes the fad, the cat breeding fad, and now everybody wants this type of cat to be in their
cat.
Well,
you know what? I think you're right, actually, Autry. I think you're probably already there. I would bet you anything that this cat cafe that opens in San Francisco will have a few oddball cats that are sort of representing exotic breeds. Like, there will be a Bengal, which is supposedly descended from a tiger, and there will be one of the ones that goes swimming. I forget what they're, Turkish something. I'll think of it as soon
as
we're off
bath.
There. Yes. Thank you. Turkish van, yeah. and there'll be a Rex. There'll be something with no hair. Because people want to experience every type, almost like a zoo.
You've just hit on something. If these cat petting cafes catch on, if we bred a cat that does not shed, could you imagine, you'd be able to sell these things for $1,000 a piece to all these cat cafes. People could pet them to their heart's desire.
Even forgetting the cat cafe, and in general, there's so many people who are allergic to cats in the world. A cat that was truly hypoallergenic is such a godsend. But the problem is those hairless ones aren't hypoallergenic, are they, Dr. Don?
No, actually, they say what causes the allergies is the dried saliva on their fur, the proteins in the cat's saliva. It's not actually
the dander, right?
Because they lick and groom themselves. Yeah, their saliva dries on the hair, and then the proteins in their saliva become aerosolized, and that supposedly is what triggers off the allergies in people. So I've heard.
I think you're probably right. I have a friend that has some cats, and whenever I'm around, sometimes she'll wash her cat, and just after she washes her feline, I can play with it, and I don't have a reaction. But if I go into – it's all within 5 minutes of stepping into a home, especially if they have two cats or more – it's instant. My throat starts to swell up. My eyes start to water. I can't take it.
Yep.
You know, there's a woman that I've interviewed on this show before. She's a nurse, and she does treatments for this, for people with allergies to pets and pets with allergies to things. And it's Laura Cook, and it's zeroallergies.com. So if you want to check that out, or anyone listening, we've had her on the show before. She's awesome. So check that out. There is a way to get rid of your cat allergy. She helped me with my cherry tree problem. For years and years and years, I couldn't even go on the air in the middle of March because I couldn't do a show without coughing because I'm so allergic to cherry trees. And now I can do it. Now I can do it year after year. So that's pretty good. Yes.
There's actually an association of allergic veterinarians. I met them at one of the national veterinary conventions many years ago. There's a fellow had a little booth set up there, and he's a nice guy. And after 15 or 20 years of practice, the man just over a period of time developed an allergy to, I don't know, it was cat dander, dog dander, and had to leave private practice. He had to give up his practice because he couldn't.
Oh, that would be such a shame.
He was doping himself up with antihistamines all day, and he was so woozy from the antihistamines he couldn't work anymore.
Now, couldn't you then divert yourself to I don't know how veterinarian works, but can't you be like a surgery specialist and then just go into surgery itself so you deal with
Because
you can wash the animal once the animal goes under. You could wash it and get all that dander off, do the surgery.
No, right? I think the exposure, though, working in a clinic, if you were terribly, terribly allergic, imagine like a kid with a peanut allergy working in a peanut factory. But I see what you mean. I mean, you could have enough vets that one did cats and one did dogs. If you didn't, they'd still be in the office, though.
I remember one of my friends went into veterinary. He went to med school. He went back to school to become a veterinarian. He went through med school, went through residency. Nice. Went back to do veterinarian. It was easier, he said. But he said that he actually found that it was harder because he had to learn several, doctor, you can help me out with this. He had to learn several different mechanisms, physiology of different breeds.
Anatomy, pharmacology. When I went to veterinary,
it was more school, difficult.
Sure, many,
it
many
must
years
be,
ago.
Right? Because they treat everything and every animal. I mean, cats and dogs are already the same.
Yeah, so when someone says, oh, I had to leave my practice because I'm allergic. What? Deal with snakes then. Don't deal with dogs and cats.
Yeah, there's always alternatives, but this particular practice, I guess the guy had to give it up. This was a long time.
Yeah, he's making excuses.
Oh, Audrey, so judgmental. Well, Dr. Camper, is it really, like, it must be like apples and oranges, rabbits, cats, dogs, lambs. You got to know it all, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's tough. We used to joke when I went to veterinary school years ago that, you know, the med school or medical school for humans, that was the plan B for the guys that couldn't get into veterinary school. If you couldn't get into vet school, you went to medical school because it was so much easier. Easier to get in, easier to get out.
Yeah. You work a lot with farm animals, is that correct?
Yes, I do.
So you probably retain a lot of that information, but I'm wondering, like the vet, I have a vet that's around the corner from me, and I'm wondering if she even really, like if I brought her,
no,
you know, a bird.
She passed her mandatory exams and, you know, all that stuff. I'm sure the day after she didn't have to.
I like this question because I've done this to people. I have shown up at a dog and cat clinic with the first
pygmy goat
they've ever seen, right? Showing up there and the thing's got this weird thing on its neck, this big lumpy sore, and it won't go away. And I've, you know, and it was easy. The veterinarian was laughing because he'd never had a pygmy goat in his waiting room, but he just got rid of the growth and cut it out. And she was
Are you one of those people that try to self vet your pets? You don't take them to a professional.
Well,
you try to stick them to needles
for years, and I also had some experience. Yeah, there's some home first aid you got to do when you're taking care of animals on a scale like this. But I go to the vet when I'm alarmed, when there's a fever, when there's stop eating, stop drinking, aren't pooping right. I mean, I watch them. If there's anything serious at all, I call in a vet or go to one. But sometimes, like that time, it was Christmas. It was like Christmas stat holiday. Nobody's around. One vet was open, so. In comes the goat. It's about the size of his regular patients. I thought maybe he'll do it. And he did. Okay, so everybody, we're almost out of time. Audrey Pruitt in New York City. Dr. Don Camper in Florida. It's been a great show, gentlemen.
Oh, yes, been a lot of fun.
I hate to say goodbye.
I know.
But we have to.
All right. Well, we can do it again sometime.
We can do it again sometime.
But we have to stop meeting like this.
No, we have to continue meeting like this.
Actually, yeah, I'm going to Florida. That's what I'm doing.
I want to meet in San Francisco for that.
I'm not going to the cat place. No. I'm not doing that. That's crazy.
No. Well, with your
I'm allergic.
Yeah, that's right. We could wave to you outside the window.
You can do that. And I'll wave to you from the dumb Starbucks.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Crazy. Okay, everybody, we'll be back next week. Be good to your animals from Deb Wolf up at Camp Good Dog and Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And Autry, I'm going to Florida before you are, so you're going to be freezing when I'm warm next week. How do you like them apples?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can rub it in when I'm back in the cold and you're still down there. All right, everybody, stay warm, stay cool, depending on where you live. Thanks a lot, Dr. Camper.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And thank you, Autry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, good luck with your new show. Everybody tune in to Autry Pruitt on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And stay tuned. Come back for me next week. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Be good to your animals.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And